Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Looked like Joe Shane is trying to walk back the Saquon Barkley stuff. You know, he had said that he'd listen in on anybody, but then he pretty much said, well, I've told Saquon, you know, we're not making calls on him, so he wants him to know that he's really wanted. But, I mean, that's kind of splitting hairs there, don't you think?
It makes me think that they're not getting any bites on what they want for him and now are living with the fact that he's going to be on the team for the foreseeable future and trying to work it out.
All right, let's bring in the great Rich Simini. He covers the Jets for us here at ESPN. Rich, hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. The Jets, you know, making some noise about what they're looking for. I mean, just trying to, through your crystal ball of all these years following this team, what do you think they are going to do in the draft?
Well, I think right now, I think they're probably leaning towards an edge rusher, you know, a defensive end with that fourth pick. There's been a lot of talk about offensive line and cornerback. I think when push comes to shove, that's what Robert Saleh really wants there. And there's a few really good ones in this draft. And I think with that other pick, the 10th pick, I think you have to consider a wide receiver. They definitely need it. I think they showed their hand with the Tyreek Hill situation, just how much they're willing to pay. And I would not rule out before the draft them trying to make another big splash for a wide receiver. I think that was the takeaway from the owners' meetings.
And Metcalf seems to be the best option right now. But I would think, Rich, he's going to cost more than Hill would have cost. And you're going to have to part with one of those two first-round picks. Would they even consider the fourth pick?
Oh, no, that would be pretty extreme. But I think, you know, the 10th pick is absolutely would have to be in play. Seattle would certainly, you know, ask for that. And, you know, you guys were just talking about Saquon and, you know, trying to, you know, mince the words of these GMs. This is the season of semantics, and I have to laugh sometimes. Pete Carroll was talking today about, you know, keeping DK Metcalf, and he said, well, you know, our intention is to keep him. And just 3 weeks ago, he said our intention was to keep Russell Wilson, but obviously a few days later, the intention's changed. So, yeah, you have to take everything with a grain of salt at this time of year. Obviously, the Seahawks want to keep DK Metcalf. I mean, why wouldn't they? He's one of the best young receivers in the league. But these receiver contracts are just exploding. The market has gone crazy. And maybe the Seahawks, you know, they're kind of in a rebuilding mode. And maybe they think, you know, this is a chance to get a couple of really good draft picks and trade a receiver who's going to cost us at least $25 million a year. So, yes, I do think the Jets are interested in DK Metcalf if he becomes available.
Is there anything to read into from the Jets being so hot on a number one receiver? Because to me, Rich, that says this is a team who, A, obviously cares about the quarterback. We know that. But I would think also B, thinks they're ready to take some step forward next season.
Yes, there is a big picture view to this. And you could certainly make that argument, Peter, because, I mean, the number one, and even Woody Johnson said it yesterday, the number one mission here is to help Zach Wilson as much as possible. And it just makes perfect sense. You have to protect your number one investment. And so I think that is the main reason. You know, it's a very interesting, you know, I've had this conversation with some people over at the Jets. You want to be careful. I mean, you know, if they take that huge, are they really one player away right now? If they get DK Metcalf, does that make them a playoff team? Well, I don't know. I mean, they still have a lot of other holes. So there's the argument to be made also to keep those draft picks and continue building and find your own DK Metcalf in the draft. It's a fascinating discussion. But I do think the Jets are willing to take that plunge if another opportunity comes along.
I'm curious, Rich, and I come to you when I'm curious because, you know, you're my guy. Was the Tyreek Hill thing a complete work by the Jets just to drive up the price for Miami, or did they really think that they had a chance at him?
No, they were genuinely interested. I mean, this was not a charade to try to get Miami to bite, because really, I don't think Miami got in until the latter stages of this. The Jets, according to the agent, they were negotiating exclusively with Hill last Monday, and they apparently, according to Rosenhaus, they got pretty close to a deal. Now, look, Drew's a good poker player. He's not going to reveal his hand unless he has to. Did they really get close? Well, apparently not close enough, because he got on the phone to the Miami Dolphins and said, hey, look, the Jets are offering such and such. Why don't you guys jump into this, because you can get him. He wants to play in Miami. And that's exactly what happened. So I don't think they did it to drive up the price to hurt Miami. I think the Jets genuinely wanted the player, but I think the Jets also knew that it was going to be an uphill battle.
If you had to prognosticate, Rich, would you predict that Becton is their left tackle to start the season?
Yes, I would say Becton is probably their left tackle, and I think they'll move George Fant back to right tackle, with an outside chance of drafting an offensive lineman. But I think that's a little less on the front burner now after signing Tomlinson in free agency. You know, with Becton, look, he's posting videos all day, every day, about how much he's working out. You know, the real truth, the proof is in the pudding, is when he shows up in 3 weeks, when they start their voluntary workouts, the Jets are going to give him a physical, and they're going to know right away what kind of shape he's in when he steps on the scale. And if he's dropped weight and he's in shape, you know, that shows to them that he's committed and he wants to break out of that sophomore slump. If he shows up out of shape, overweight, then I think offensive line becomes a real possibility with that fourth pick.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Were you surprised, and do you know if internally people were surprised? The other day, Power Rankings, ESPN still has the Jets at 30. I felt like a lot of the moves they made this offseason have been strong, and I would have them a bit higher. Any thoughts there?
Well, I mean, I vote in those Power Rankings also, guys. You know, it's all the writers and people at ESPN, and I think when you're dealing with the Jets, from an outside New York, New Jersey perspective, there's always skepticism. And people around the country saying, oh, all right, the Jets made a few moves. They got a few good players. Big deal. They're the Jets. You know, let's see it. I'll believe it when I see it. So I think that's where that comes from.
All right. So here's what concerned me, that something that Salah said. He was answering a question about, you know, the struggles last year. He said, well, it's all part of the building process. And when do we know that this rebuilding is over? And doesn't Robert know that the last three Giant coach didn't get a third year? I mean, there are no more five-year plans, Rich. So is Joe Douglas looking to expedite this process, or is this going to be a slow burn?
I feel bad for the Jet fan, because all you hear about is it's like perpetual rebuilding. Like, when does the rebuilding stop and the winning start, you know? I mean, listening to Woody Johnson yesterday, I think I could have cut and pasted the same quotes that he said 9 years ago when they started this playoff drought. And here we are. It's been 11 years, no playoffs. I think the fans are impatient. They have a right to be impatient. And teams are making moves. I mean, you see what the Rams did. I think that set a blueprint. They went out the last few years and made these go-for-broke moves that obviously resulted in a championship. And the Jets are sticking, you know, Joe Douglas is sticking to a very methodical plan. He doesn't want to deviate from that plan. And yeah, they got to show some results this year. And Robert Saleh, I mean, he could talk about rebuilding. You know, they better win 8 or 9 games this year. Otherwise, you know, what are they doing this for? It's been too long. You don't need 3 to 5 years to turn around a franchise.
And the thing that stinks, Rich, is even if he makes that jump, I mean, take a look at the quarterbacks in this conference. Watson stays in the AFC. Wilson joins the AFC, and he's going to be, you know, good for at least the next couple of years. What is the concern that if even Wilson takes the jump, where does he rank among these quarterbacks, and how well is he going to have to play to even get into that third wild card?
Yeah, I mean, they're facing a murderer's row of quarterbacks this year. I counted seven, you know, elite quarterbacks on their schedule. So that's a decided disadvantage they have going into that game. They will not have the best quarterback in any of those seven games, and we know how important that position is. And so you're right, Don, because, I mean, everything the Jets are doing now, we could talk hours about all these moves. Really what it comes down to, and the people at One Jets Drive know this, what it comes down to is Zach Wilson's got to develop into a star. He's got to validate that number two draft pick a year ago, because if he doesn't and he maxes out at average, the Jets are going to be real big, tearing it down another couple of years from now and starting over with a whole new set of GM and coaches. And so it all hinges on Zach Wilson. He's got to take some major, major steps, much like what Josh Allen did in Buffalo. Josh Allen was not good as a rookie. We all know that. Took some major steps in year two and year three. And if you talk to Jet people on the side, that's what they're hoping the trajectory is for Zach Wilson.
You know, it's funny too, Rich. If he does what Josh Allen did, right, the way the quarterback market is now, he's going to make over $50 million a year when they give him a contract. Yeah. And I hope the Jets are prepared for that. Most of it's going to have to be guaranteed, because if a guy with civil suits and a possible suspension hanging over his head gets everything guaranteed, Zach Wilson's going to do quite well for himself.
I mean, I've talked to some team executives from around the league, and they say that Watson contract is going to haunt teams for years. I mean, what about Lamar Jackson? I mean, he's got a year left on his deal. You're sitting there. Why shouldn't he ask for what Deshaun Watson got? So that contract is going to really, really hurt business in the NFL for teams, you know, not necessarily quarterbacks, but for teams for a while. And so the Jets, look, I think they'll be happy to worry about paying Zach in 2 or 3 years, because that means he'd be playing really well.
But that's the thing, Rich, is if you're going to go out and get big-name free agents or bring on big contracts, you got to do it now, because you're not going to be able to do it after you give Wilson that contract.
That's why it's a great point, Don, because that's why you see teams now paying all this wide receiver money. In most cases, not all of them, but in most of those cases, those teams with the big money wide receivers are quarterbacks on their rookie contract. So the Jets, that's why they went after Tyreek Hill. That's why they'll go after DK Metcalf if the Seahawks are willing to listen, because this is the time, this is the window, the 2 to 3 year window they have where you can pay that kind of money and not have to worry about paying your quarterback.
Rich Cimini of ESPN covers the Jets. He is with us right now. Before we let you go, Rich, we were talking about this at the open of the show. Your thoughts on the new OT rule, you like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, I guess. I mean, it was disappointing to see what happened in the playoffs last year. I think it was headed this way. I didn't get your guys' take on it. I don't know. I'd be curious to hear that. I guess I have to listen to the show more often. But
well, my take was this, Rich, and I don't know if Don and Peter are in lockstep with me. It's better than what they had, but it's unfair, because if the team that scores first, the second team, the other team, is playing under completely different rules. They're playing a four-down game when the first team is playing a three-down game.
Yeah, that's a different set of game management strategies that go into it. I wonder if they should create a rule on teams making choking defensively and making dumb kickoff decisions at the end of regulation.
Well, that's what Don said.
Because clearly, Rich, they were motivated by what happened in the Chiefs-Bills game, which is saying that that's the reason the Bills lost, and it's not. Don't give up a field. Don't let them drive the field for a field goal with 13 seconds left. That's why you lost the game.
Absolutely. Well, Rich, it's an entirely different outcome.
We thank you for joining us as always. Hope you're well, your family's well, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
1-800-919-3776. More to do. Voting continues on Drop Madness on ESPN TMKS. TMKS
sure
ESPN. Yeah, it's at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. And the voting is fast and furious. Yesterday, a lot of people got involved. And you get down to these final games, it's intriguing. It's exhilarating. It's goosebump inducing. It's all of those things. Let's be honest.
No,
it has that
not
kind of effect.
And some of the matchups we have today are just, how do you not want to weigh in on that?
Like, you have to.
Especially the Don region?
It's a great region.
I love Don's region.
Who doesn't? 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.